Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message from Real Life Community, where we talk about connecting with God and others, growing in Christ-likeness, and sharing God's life with the world. My name is Sarah Comer, and I serve each week as Connections Pastor, making sure that you know that there is a God and a community that loves you and wants to go through the seasons of life with you. You can find us at reallifecommunity.org, and we would love to meet you on Facebook or Instagram. Until then, we hope this message meets you right where you are and helps you know just how deep the Father's love is for you.
What a joy it was for Gay and me to be here last week with you. And I have to tell you, we've said such good things this week about the Spirit of God in this place. The Spirit of God comes where He's welcome. Spirit of God stays where He's welcome. And I am so grateful that we have that privilege today to be in the presence of the living God all of the time. Well, today we're going to go back to where we left off. We're going to talk about Psalm 23 one more time. And so I would ask you to follow along on the screen or turn in your Bible to Psalm 23. And let's listen to the word of the Lord as though we've never heard this passage before in our lives. And the truth is, we get caught in the routine and go, oh yeah, that's the 23rd Psalm. And we check out until it's over. Could we just check in and listen to all of the words that our God has inspired to be written to us? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Today, I want to lift up just a couple of lines out of Psalm 23, a very particular passage that's the key, in my opinion, to everything else that is in Psalm 23. It is so much more about the soul than it is about the flesh. But when you read, the Lord makes me to go into green pastures and He leads me by still waters, for the life of us, that sounds like the flesh. But there is so much more. It becomes so much deeper. You see, He is giving us more than flesh in this passage. He is talking about that which is the supreme part of our entire being, and that is the soul. Without the soul, there is nothing. We are soul people. Regardless of how much we live in the flesh, we are still soul people. After all, we were created in His image, and we all know that God is spirit, and that if we worship Him, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yes, we worship Him with our bodies, but it starts with the spirit. It starts with the soul of mankind. In the Hebrew Bible, the term soul is nephesh, and it's used 756 times. It kind of seems important. We just keep hearing it over and over again. And the word can refer to life as it does in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 30. Or it can simply mean the person as it does in Deuteronomy 10:22. But it also designates the immaterial part of every human being. It's equivalent to spirit, you see. While it's true that God is very interested in our flesh, as a matter of fact, He's so interested in our flesh that even though we die, the Bible tells us that our flesh is going to be resurrected. So we are going to have our bodies again. It is very important to God, but we've got to realize that it all starts with our soul. It doesn't start with our bodies. If we can get an idea, a strong idea, that we are soul over body, we will live our lives in a totally different fashion. But if we keep thinking we are mainly flesh, we're going to do what makes the flesh feel better instead of what the soul says is the right way that we're supposed to go. We place so much emphasis on God enhancing our emotions and God enhancing our flesh and God enhancing our temporary so that our soul outcome doesn't stand out like it really should. In reality, everything starts with my soul, from the heart, the seat of the soul. Jesus said, that's where the mouth speaks. It is out of the heart that the mouth speaks. It is not out of the brain that the mouth speaks. You see, the starter is down in the soul. The brain articulates what the soul is thinking. That's why you and I have to really be careful what we're thinking all the time, because it's thought first and action later. You say, well, I just did that on reflex. Could I tell you something? There is no such thing. If you did it on reflex, it's the reflex of the soul. It's not the reflex of the brain. It is what our soul is that our brain is going to become. It is what our soul is that our words are going to become. So what you think on is going to make all the difference. And so I would say to us, if you always think the way you always thought, you're always going to be the way you've always been. And if you always are the way you've always been, you're always going to do what you've always done. And if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you always got. You want to hear that again? Don't try to take it down. If you really want it, come and I'll tell you after the service. If you always think the way you always thought, you'll always be what you've always been. And if you always are what you've always been, you'll always do what you've always done. And if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. That is so true. It is profound. It's a little silly and a little jingle-ish, but it is indeed the truth. We have got to teach our souls to think in a new way, not in a knee-jerk, world-like way that is so easy for us. And so in all of the culturization that we have received over our lifetime, we have got to go to the soul instead of the culture. We have to be sure that from the heart, the mouth is speaking the word of God. So there are two pivotal words that stand out, and they are restore and righteousness. Today, I want to concentrate just on restoration, our own restoring. And God willing, next week, we're going to talk about righteousness. They are just, they're twins. You can't separate them, but they're too much to talk about at one time. And so I want to talk about restoration. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He restores my soul, and then I'm ready to go on my journey of righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, not for my sake, but for His name's sake. Let's get priorities where priorities belong. Jesus came to restore our right standing so that we can be holy, that's completely, and holy, that's pure, and be reconciled back to Him because we were created in His image, and we do it all for His name's sake. You see, we think that we become a Christian so that God will go, oh, I'm so glad I got somebody following me. I want you to understand that's not what it's about at all. It is about I have got you because I made you, and I'm going to do everything in my power to help you see how valuable that is to you for my name's sake, because my creation is my idea, and for my name's sake, I'm going to keep you if you're willing to stay with me. What a great thought. That phrase, He restores my soul. Do you realize how big a word restore is in our culture right now? All you got to do is turn your TV on. Turn your TV on and you're going to see stuff on restore everywhere. As a matter of fact, if you really are into houses, HGTV brings shows about restoration. Fixer Upper, Flip or Flop, Property Brothers, Love It or List It, House Hunters, Renovation, Desert Flippers, and the list just goes on and on and on and on. And some of them are good. And the list goes on and on and on. But for me, my favorite restoration topic comes on Motor Trend. I like to watch what's on Motor Trend. It's the restoring of old cars. I have a 1963 that is a classic, and it's also a pain in the neck right now, but it's a classic. And so you go to Motor Trend, and what you see is Iron Resurrection, Overhauling, Phantom Works, Texas Metal, Misfit Garage, Graveyard Cars, Restoration Garage, and that list goes on and on and on and on, and some of them are good. And the list goes on and on. The interesting thing to me, though, is as fallen human beings, we seem to have a very strong affinity toward the idea of restoration. If you think about that, we are reminded in the most subtle ways that we need to be restored to a condition that was before the fall of mankind. There's just something inside of us. You know, there are some natural laws that just happen inside of us that we don't even realize sometimes. Do you realize that the Sabbath day, as Sunday now, and I understand about the history of the Sabbath and when it really was. I understand all that. But Gay and I have talked so many times, it is so interesting to see that people who have no religious affiliation, no spiritual intent whatsoever, they will do their chores around the house on Saturday. They'll mow their grass. Now, this is for the most part, of course. And they'll do the kind of work that they've got to get done. But on Sunday, they sit and read the newspaper and drink coffee. Isn't it kind of interesting to us that something inside says, well, this is the day that I'm going to read my newspaper and drink my coffee because I need rest. I've been working all week and I had to work yesterday in the yard. This is my day before I have to go back. I just don't think that's a coincidence. I think that that is an internal makeup that God has put in us that we can understand that we need to be restored even if we don't look to the right places for our restoration. Psalm 23 says, He restores my soul. But what does that restoration really imply? Doesn't it imply that something has left its original form? Doesn't it imply that something is wrong that needed to be fixed? Doesn't it imply that something needs to be made right again? Well, He restores my soul, so we've got to go back and figure out just what is restoration. Now, we all know it kind of innately. We understand what restoration is, but let me give you a dictionary definition. Restoration is the action of returning something to a former owner, to a former place, to a former condition. Perhaps it's reminding us again that we are created in the image of God, and from that image, our entire lives have fallen away. It is that taking us back to that original form, taking us back to where we're really supposed to be. There are other ways to say restore. Restoration synonyms are these: repair, renovate, refurbish, recondition, rehabilitate, rebuild, reconstruction, remodel, revamp. Now, that's a whole list that applies right to what we're talking about today. The Lord restores my soul. When I was in high school, we were poor. We didn't know it, but we were poor. And my daddy was a semi-truck driver. He was gone a lot. We had a little farm, so I say that I'm a semi-farmer. My daddy was a semi-driver, and I lived on a little farm. Okay, so it was my job to do all of the chores around the house. But we didn't have the money for me when I became a teenager to have a car or a pickup that I drove to school like so many of my buddies did. And so sometime around 1967, my daddy went and bought a used 1963 long wheelbase step side C10 Chevrolet pickup. You say, why do you have to? Because it's very important. You see, It is important what that truck was, because that truck became my transportation. When I got old enough that my daddy felt like I could handle it, and by the way, there were many times I didn't handle it properly, and he who was supposed to be on the road always found a way to find out what I was doing. So that truck got me in a lot of trouble, or maybe I got in trouble because I had the truck. Anyway, it was just an old farm truck, and for most of the time, it had a cattle bed on the back. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it wasn't boards. I mean, he spent money in the right places. He made sure that the cows and the mules and the hogs that went in the back of that truck stayed there. So we had this big metal frame that went around the truck. And most of the time it was on because we were always hauling things to the livestock sale. And so I drove that truck to school, to sporting events, to work. I even dated in that truck. Now, I want to tell you something. When you're dating in a pickup truck, you take the cattle body off. You don't want to drive up to a girl's house with a cattle body on your truck. It just doesn't say good things to the daddy of the girl that you're going out with. And so it was one of those things that I always enjoyed it. I always loved the truck. I went away to college and only went back home about once a year. Every time I'd go back, I'd drive the old truck for some reason or other. My daddy died 11 years ago, and he kept the truck until he died. It was just a beat-up old work truck. It had all the rust to prove its age. It had all of the dings to prove that he was getting older. And he didn't get his spatialness right all the time, and sometimes things would hit it, you know what I mean? And so I want you to see the truck that when my daddy died, I said, I can't let it go back. I just can't. I can't send it to scrap. I've got to keep it. So there it is in all of its glory, minus the cattle bed. And so I said to my wife, I can't let that go. It's about the only thing I've got of him. And my daddy was my hero. You got to understand, I am where I am today because of God's grace through his example. And so I kept the truck, and I got it restored. And here's what it looks like today. And now, it's like a beautiful woman who's a witch. High maintenance. But it's the restored truck. And you've got to admit, if you look at the old pictures and you look at the new pictures, restoration does a lot of good things for things that have lost their form. I think you can identify with what I'm saying. In our lives, we go through all kinds of issues day after day after day. Life with sin causes us misery and pain and fear and doubt. And Jesus stands there saying, I am your shepherd. You have no reason to want. You don't have to lack anything of importance because I am going to lead you in the places where there's plenty for you. I'm going to take you where it's shaded and you're going to rest. And I'm going to restore your soul. Now, it doesn't matter what that means to you. I mean, it might be a relationship that's gone wrong and you need to be restored. It might be finances that have gone south and you need to be restored in your soul and your confidence of what your God is going to do for you. Real quickly, I want to tell you, there are basically four things in this particular passage of restoration. There's the progression of restoration. There is the process of restoration. There is the path of restoration, and there's the purpose of restoration. I just want to give you two of those. I want to give you the progression of restoration. It is, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. But I want you to see that he is making me to lie down. He is leading me. It's not he led me. It's not he restored me. It is, he is restoring. Do you see the tense? He is restoring our soul. All week long, with all of the issues that have gone on in our life, the shepherd God has given us everything that we need. If he hadn't, you wouldn't be here this morning. Right. But he has given you everything you needed. He's given you wisdom for decisions that had to be made. And if you didn't make the right decision, it's because we didn't hear the wisdom and heed the wisdom. I mean, most of the time, I have to admit, most of my problems are self-inflicted. And I think if we're really honest with ourselves and instead of trying to find somebody to blame, we can look and go, you know, if I had done this, that wouldn't have happened. We got to take it upon ourselves so that we can go into the shepherd and say, this is where I blew it. Will you restore me? If you don't realize, if you're not self-aware enough to see that you're the reason your problems exist, you can't go in and say, restore me. Because you are lost in your self-centeredness instead of in your self-weakness. And we have got to recognize that as fallen people, we are broken. And we can't restore ourselves. He's got to restore us. He is my Jehovah Shalom. He is my Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Shalom. He is my peace. He is everything that I need. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He is with us. I have been with him all week long. I told you last week that we had this little issue that came up. And I got to tell you, the issue is still there, but it's been abated by the restoration of the Holy Spirit of our God, who has walked into the lives of those situations. Have you ever had situations that were so dear to you that it was like it was happening to you, but it was somebody else, and there wasn't one thing you could do about it? Can I tell you something? There is. There is. I want to tell you, when you start interceding for people, God does something. He always has, for me at least. I can only speak out of my own experience. The next thing I want us to see is the process of restoration. He restores my soul continually. The priority of God in this passage is not my flesh. It is not where I live. It's not what I wear. It's not what I drive. The priority is my soul. Without the soul being whole, it's like having a car without a motor. I have got to have my soul restored. And here's what we really have to see today is that restoration is not a once in a lifetime thing. I'm afraid that sometimes in our theology, we become, well, I've been saved. I mean, I know what we say. We say we are not Calvinists. And we don't believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. But could I tell you something? We act for the world like we believe that. We just go on living because, and if we go to church once a week, we're okay. But I want you to understand, I have devotional time with my God every single day. Every single day I pour my soul out to him. Every single day I have a list that is taking me longer and longer and longer to pray for because God has put names on my heart. And I spend all of that time with him. It is the most wonderful thing that you can ever imagine. As a matter of fact, it takes me almost my entire 8-mile walk every day to get all those names in. And yet, in the midst of that staying close to God, when I end my day, there is a need for restoration. I'm going to tell you, even when you do good things, you need to be restored. You need to be restored by the God who gives you the grace and the wisdom so that your soul emits the right kind of words from your mouth and emits the right attitude from your spirit. I want to tell you something. Tone speaks. Did you know that? What you say is important, but the way you say it is important. And I want you to understand, if you don't believe that, just get a real rough language with your spouse and see how much it matters. So every day, I've got to be being restored. Now, I try to walk close to God, but sometimes I'll raise my voice because I get frustrated. But here's the beauty. The Lord is my shepherd, and he corrects me. And he says, now, is that really the way you want to be spoken to? And I go, Lord, I need to be restored because I was taken away from the image of God. And I fell back into the brokenness of self. Lord, please restore my soul. It's a daily thing. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and Jehovah God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. See God at work. I want you to see that he reaches to the earth and he takes dust and he forms clay, which is dirt and water, and he makes us. It is an amazing thing. The life of man did not come. The commentator Ellicott said this, so I want to quote him. The life of man did not come as a result of man's bodily organization, nor as derived by evolution from another animal, but as a gift directly from God. In his commentary, Benson said, the word God used in Hebrew for he formed is not used concerning any other creature he made. He formed implies a process in the work with great accuracy and exactness. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and thereby the soul of life, both natural and spiritual, both temporal and eternal. And he says again, and the Lord formed the man from the dust of the soil. The body is clay from dust, but man was not man until God breathed into his nostrils. I want to tell you something. You are not God's person in any situation until you let God breathe himself into your actions. God, breathe on me. The very breath of life, that's restoration. That is when you get up in the morning and you're sitting on your porch and you're having your devotion and that breeze is blowing through and you recognize that that's the breath of God. You see, for me this morning, I was sitting on the porch and the breeze was coming through and the Lord just said to me, do you feel me? And my first reaction was, I feel the wind blowing. And the Lord took me to school to say, I am restoring you with the breath of life. And so I challenge you this week, anytime you feel a breeze blowing across your face, understand that your God is breathing on your very soul. Every time you have an opportunity to have his breath on you, give him praise. John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. You see, he breathed on them, and they became a living soul. He breathed on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The progression of God's act in our life as our shepherd. So, whatever you're worrying about, I want you to understand that worry is not from above. I want you to know that to restore for you should be the action of returning something to a former owner, to a former place, or a former condition. Would you be restored? Now I want you to stand up and bow your head. And I know that this is the way they did it back in 1950. But I can't help it. Whenever I preach what I believe to be the Word of God, I have to give you an opportunity just to respond. So that if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, I just want you to respond by a movement. You see, response with my mouth is one thing, but response with my whole being is totally different. And so if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, saying something to you like, you know, I want to restore you in a new way, why don't you just surrender to me? Why don't you just come and kneel? Come and kneel. And then you're saying to him, I accept your invitation. Would you bow your head? We're going to wait 1 minute. That's all. Just 1 minute. Is there anybody who wants to come and just feel the restoration of God coming on you? Is there anyone like that? We've got 20 seconds. Is there anybody else, anybody that wants to come and talk to Jesus? I invite you. God bless you. Now let's bow our heads and pray together and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to those who are kneeling here. Let's give Him the time in their lives. Father, I thank You today for Your goodness and Your mercy. Oh, how I appreciate Your Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit, You are so kind and gentle, yet so profound and so filling. So today, I ask You to come upon those who have their hearts turned up, and I ask You to restore their soul, return them to their original place, return them to their original giver, return them, O God, to the strength and the power that is You. Yes. We love You, Lord. I pray for this church. I pray that they will receive the appropriate person to be their shepherd. May it not be a career move, but may it be a movement of God's plan. Lord, help these people not to do corporate decision making, but let them hear the voice of God and make this church what You destined it to be. In Jesus' strong name I pray. Amen. Now, would you just stand and look at me? Here's my blessing for you today. May the Lord create in you a clean heart. May the Lord renew you with His Holy Spirit. May the Lord restore you to the joy of His salvation. And may the Lord give you His vibrant peace. God bless you. You're dismissed.